When I read, began Job chapter 7. In the first few verses of this chapter 7, Job is giving reasons why he desired death, even though he could not actually justify his desire for death. And he reasons like this: why not wish for the end of his life if it would end his miseries? So verse 1 says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling?" Job notes the general condition of man in this verse. In addition to being full of trouble, he is few of days. Every person must die shortly. The word appointed means to wait for warfare. Like a soldier waiting for the battle, if I, like every man, must die shortly, he says, why is it wrong for me to wish to do just that, die shortly? This verse shows us several things. First of all, we see the present place of the living. Man is upon the earth, which God has given to the children of men. Psalm 115:16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. This shows man's low, inferior position. How much below the inhabitants of that future elevated and refined new heavens and new earth man is now situated. This also shows God's mercy to him. He is on the earth and not under it, on earth and not in hell. Our time on earth is limited and short according to the narrow boundaries of this earth. But heaven cannot be measured, nor can the days of heaven be numbered. Note man's time on earth. There is a time appointed for his abode here. We today were not appointed to live during the days of Abraham, Moses, or Solomon, nor did we live during the time of the patriarchs, which was the time of Job. We were not privileged to live during the time of Christ, when he was on earth, and be able to witness his works. But the time we live in is the time appointed for us. This appointment was made by him that made us and put us here. God has the residue of the Spirit, and he places each individual in the womb at the time it pleases him. We are not to be on this earth always, nor long, but for a certain time, which is determined by him in whose hand our times are. We are not to think that we are governed by blind fate, or by luck, or by the signs of the stars, but by the wise, holy, sovereign counsel of God. This first verse not only refers to the place man lives on, but it also refers to man's condition while on earth. Man's life is a warfare. This is what the word appointment means. We are, every one of us, to look upon ourselves in this world as soldiers exposed to hardships in the midst of enemies. We must serve in the great army of God and be under his command. When our warfare is accomplished, we must be disbanded and dismissed with either shame or honor according to what we have done in the body. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This first verse in Job 7 also says, are not his days also like the days of an hireling? We are as a day laborer who has the work of the day to do in its day, and then we must receive his reward at night. Verse 2, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work. Here Job looks at his own condition at this time. He thought he had as much reason to wish for death as a poor servant or hired hand that is tired from his work and wishes for the shadows of the evening when he shall receive his few dollars and go rest. The darkness of the night is as welcome to the laborer as the light of the morning is to the watchman. Psalm 130, verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. The God of nature has provided for the rest and sleep of the laborers, and it is no wonder that they desire it. The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, according to Ecclesiastes 5:12. There is no pleasure more grateful or more relishing to the rich than is rest to those who labor. Nor can any rich man take so much satisfaction in the return of his rich investments than the hireling or the day laborer has in his day's wages. Job is simply saying, as the servant earnestly desires the shadow, and as a hireling looks for the reward of his work, so for the same reason I earnestly desire death. He continues his complaint in the next few verses. Verses 3 and 4 say, "So I am made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? I am full of the tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day." Job says here that his nights were restless. We think of night as giving relief to the toil and fatigue of the day, not only to laborers, but also to sufferers. If a sick person can just get a little sleep in the night, it helps nature. It is hoped that he'll do well. Whatever the trouble is, sleep gives some relief from the cares, pains, and griefs that afflict us. It is a time out from our sorrows. But poor Job could not get this relief. His nights were wearisome. And instead of resting, he only tired himself more, with tossing himself to and fro until morning. Those who suffer great uneasiness through pain of body or anguish of mind think that by changing sides, changing places, changing posture will give some ease. But as long as the cause of the problem remains, it is all to no benefit. It is like a fretful, discontented spirit that is ever shifting but never easy. This made Job dread the night as much as the servant desired it. When he did lay down, he would say, "When will the night be gone?" He says, "These wearisome nights are appointed to me." God, who determines the times appointed, had allotted him such nights as these. Whatever is at any time painful to us, it is good that it is appointed to us, that we may become reconciled to it as being unavoidable because it is appointed, which means it must have some purpose desired by God. When we do have comfortable nights, we must see them as also appointed to us and be thankful for them, since they are much better than if we had wearisome nights. Verse 5, "My flesh is closed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome." He here describes the effect this disease was having upon his body. The flesh was covered with worms, which could have been maggots bred by flies in his sores. The scabs were like clods of dirt. His skin was broken with festering boils, which had pus draining from them. This was loathsome to Job. This was some of the effect of Job's disease. It would be much like being covered from head to toe with the disease of smallpox. Smallpox vaccination is actually cowpox. And we can remember when we had that smallpox vaccination, which was actually cowpox, which was a smaller, lesser, painful disease than smallpox, how painful that vaccination got. We had a sore arm and these knots under the arm for several days after that vaccination. Well, think about having smallpox, which is worse, and think about having smallpox all over the body, covering you from head to toe. That seems to be what the condition of Job was here. And so we see what can happen to our bodies. Job's body was loathsome to him. We have very little reason to take pride in our bodies or to show parts of them which should be covered. Ever since the first sin, God has intended that humans, men and women, adequately cover their bodies. In Genesis 3:21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." As soon as they had sinned, God insisted that they be clothed. He made them coats of skin. This was actually the first death we read of to obtain those coats of skins, and that it might have even been a sacrificial offering. 1 Timothy 2:9-10, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Paul is here showing in this passage that women are to not dress in such a manner to be noted for their dress. They're to be noted for their good works. Anytime you have immodest apparel, you're going to be noted for your dress, for your clothing. Anytime that happens. He says with shamefacedness. Now, shamefacedness doesn't mean that you're ashamed of your face. Shamefacedness means you have the ability to feel shame. We see people all the time who dress in such scanty clothing, there's no way they have the ability to feel shame. They wouldn't feel ashamed. I don't care what they had on or what they didn't have on. We need to be able to feel shame. If we are dressed immodestly, we should be ashamed of it. And He says, shamefacedness and sobriety. That is, we're to have a sober, sound head on us so that we can recognize what is appropriate and what is not. Some people, and we see them every day in our everyday lives, seem to have no conscience whatsoever about anything being improper. Anything goes. That is not to be so with the Christian. The Christian is to be noted for the good works rather than for the scanty dress. We actually read of no nakedness or scanty clothing in heaven. In Revelation 6 and 11, he says, and white robes were given unto every one of them. Revelation 7 and 9, he speaks of them being clothed with white robes. Revelation 7 and 14, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, very plainly here, we are told that in heaven they were clothed, then the clothing spoken of as robes. We cannot let the world set the standard for how we're to clothe our bodies. The world is guided by Satan and is ignorant of these Bible standards set by God. The world will dress in immodest clothing, but we need to be dressed in clothing that is approved of by the Bible. We need to constantly have on our minds that I don't want to dress in anything that would conflict with what the Bible says and be immodest or improper in any way. Something that would get attention to me, that I do not want to dress in. So let us never be seen in any form of immodest dress. The world should never see our bodies in any degree of nakedness or undue exposure. Let us not dress like the harlot. Solomon looked out his window and he saw this young woman dressed like a harlot. Now that's a certain kind of a dress. We must not mimic that kind of a dress. We should be able to tell the difference in the way we dress and the way a harlot dresses. So how we cover our bodies is most important. But the subject here that Job is talking about is the fact that his body had really gone to a deteriorated state. He was loathed the condition his body was in. And so our bodies contain the principal ingredients of their own destruction. As fond as we are of our bodies now, the time may come when we feel an intense disgust and hatred for its absolute failure, and we may long to get rid of it, just like Job longed to get rid of his. So we're going to bring our lesson to a close at that point. Next time, Lord willing, we'll begin with the sixth verse. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.